Welcome to the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Tate. We have an incredible show for you this week. The main event is Preston Nyman, known to many in the magic community as Spooky Nyman. This is a bit of an older interview from last year at Magic Live. You know, I thought I lost it, but thanks to the miracle of cleaning my office, I found the hard drive it's on. We talk about being the son of a legend, his acting career, and a lot more. Nick Lacapo stops by the show to discuss the feature part of the week from Eric Ross. Before all of that, we kick things off with one of our quickfire segments where your favorite magicians share with me the magic they never leave the house without. This week, Foolis alum and one of the few men who have beaten me in a magic contest, Michael Kent, joins me for the Everyday Carry. Michael Kent, thanks for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast for the Everyday Carry. All right, you're going to leave the house. You're gonna go out. You're going to go grocery shopping. You're going to meet some friends for coffee or an adult beverage, but you're a nerd, so you can't leave the house without some magic. What is your Everyday Carry?
It goes back and forth between two things. Currently, Keymaster by Craig Petty.
Thank you for continuing to help me pay the bills on the show. No, Keymaster is a great trick.
Yeah, and it's a normal thing to carry with you.
Yes.
It's not weird that you're carrying magic with you when you pull out your keychain and you remove two keys from it. That's not a weird thing, which I like. So yeah. It feels very natural. If I don't carry that, which I almost always have that, sometimes I also throw a set of copper silver set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you doing with copper silver?
I do a very simple copper silver routine, and Copeland coins is who I use for that.
I love those coins.
That tiger tan with the illusion edge is super cool.
Yeah, unfortunately you can't get them on Penguin, but our podcast.
I'm sorry.
No, as far
maybe
as
I shouldn't have said that.
As far as we're concerned, the podcast is Switzerland, especially when it comes to things like that, because I have a set of Copeland's copper silver coins that I use for Paul V. Hill's CBS routine that I do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
but
it's
yeah, I do
so
a very
pretty.
Stripped down, it's actually only two phases, and I would love to figure out what my third phase is going to be for that, like kind of work on a little bit, but I just do two phases, and I keep them in one of Brent Braun's coin wallets.
Oh,
because
excellent.
it has the little, what's he call it, the backpack or whatever, where, so basically you can dump a copper and silver coin into their hand in the beginning that they can kind of look at and examine because they're weird coins.
Yeah.
And then as I tilt it back, I secretly drop the gimmick coin into my right hand and I'm set to go. So, and that's a really easy thing. It's in a small package. It sits in my right pocket on most days.
The FPS coin wallet is a really cool, like if you're starting to play with more coin stuff and you want to like just add a little bit extra, having a special coin wallet like that is nice. And the FPS coin wallet, it's a good one. Want to return to Keymaster real quick because question, when we released that, I know that we intentionally released the keys as blanks so that you could get them cut. Have you gotten your house key cut into it?
I have not. I have been waiting to do it and wanting to do it, and I keep reminding myself to do it, and I keep forgetting to go to like Home Depot and get it done. But I found the perfect size clip that works with the keys. I don't use there's a key that doesn't have any holes in it.
Yeah.
And I did buy a thing to hold that on here as well, like a little leather key holder. I don't use it because it's just too big to carry that thing. It's not as easy to carry. I'm not going to carry a loose key in my pocket.
No, that makes total sense.
But this makes it really easy to get the two keys that I need for the trick into my hand. All three keys I get into my hand and get into the trick. So it's just like a little clip on my keychain that's the right size. And that's also really easy to, I have one of these on my, I have a separate keychain I wear when I'm strolling to do, a key flight, a ring flight. Mm-hmm. And so I take these off, put them on that one when I'm strolling. So I can still do that when I'm actually working. But mostly this is just for everyday carry and for friends.
And Keymaster is such a fun trick too. And there's like a ton of routines on there. So it's really nice to like see that somebody's carrying that around. Well,
And shout out to Jay Sankey for Holy Moly. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely shout out to Jay Sankey for Holy Moly. Well, Michael Kent, Keymaster, and Copper Silver are fantastic everyday carries. Thanks so much for joining us on the Penguin Magic Podcast.
You got it, man.
Thanks so much to Michael Kent for being on the show. Go back and give his episode on handheld mics a listen. It could be invaluable for the day you don't have a lavalier. On to the main event. Regular listeners to the show will know that Preston Nyman has been on before. We've even had an entire episode about his favorite Tenyo tricks. This is an episode that I've wanted to come up for a while because it's an actual, factual, proper interview with him. I thought it had been lost to the mist of time, but I found it. We talk about being the son of a well-known magician, the convention he and his father put on, and the conversation goes just sort of all over the place because I just love Preston. We caught up at Magic Live, and now you get to join our conversation. Preston Nyman, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast. It's really good to see you again because we bumped into each other at Blackpool.
Yeah.
And then we were supposed to start podcasting like an hour ago, and we've just been chatting about stuff here because we're in Magic Live right now.
Yes.
And I want to talk about a lot of other stuff with you and like your magic and what you're doing, but I would be really remiss if I didn't start off with this question. What's it like to be Andy Nyman's son?
You know what? I was actually just hearing you say that. Right, it was a bit of a tangent, but the other day I texted Dad to be like, I'm a bit obsessed with gags and just doing bits and getting funny stuff made or whatever. I was trying to. I'm sort of in the process of working out whether it's worth me finding someone whose name is Andy Nymanson. Someone in the world has to exist with the name Andy Nymanson, and contacting them and trying to share a website so you can go on the website and it will say, if you're looking for Andy Nymanson, click here. If you're looking for Andy Nyman's son, click here, which is more time and energy than it's worth. But hearing you say Andy Nymanson,
yeah,
it was actually hearing someone say it in an American accent the other day that was like, it's weird. It sounds like they're saying Andy Nymanson, but they're not. They're saying Andy Nyman's son.
It's like looking for a Scandinavian twin that you didn't know you had.
Yes, exactly. Yes, me and my Scandi twins.
I guess the real reason I asked that is that you're in a position that typically only happens with like actors, which I know you're an actor and your father's an actor, or you'll see this with sports icons, but you don't typically see it in magic where a father is a very prominent figure and then their kid gets into magic in a serious way where they make their own name for themselves and not off the back of their father. Because the only other person I can think of that did that was Mike Gallo, Lou Gallo's son.
Yeah, sure.
So I just, what has that been like? Because there's just not many people who have a father with such a big stature in that community. When you walk in, you must get asked about him all the time, or like, what's that like?
So it's 95% great and 5%, and not even frustrating. I don't know what that 5% would be. That I'll start with the 5% and get it out of the way. The downside, if there is a downside to it, is you get a lot of people talking to you that just want to talk to Dad, or talking to me that just want to talk to Dad. Yeah. And this is something actually, I did one of Craig Petty's like talk magic things and kind of addressed this about Ryland. And I would urge us also to anyone listening to this, like if you're going up to say, oh, by the way, I spoke to your dad at a convention and he was great and we spoke about this or whatever. That's like I have all the time in the world. It makes me laugh sometimes when people come up and they're like, how's your dad? Because it's really hard not to go, yeah, he's really good. How's yours? but that I really like. That's not what I'm talking about. That's lovely. And it's lovely that Dad is friendly and people like him and people like him enough to come and talk to me about it. I'm really happy with.
Is it more the people like trying to use you as the entree?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that will, not a lot of people actually, that's not fair, but even when I was like 7 or whatever at conventions, you'll get cornered by someone who will show you trick after trick after trick after trick. And I get like, I it's not like I think anyone's a bad, like I get it and I get why you do it. But I know at the time that all they want me to do is be like, dad, you've got to see this guy.
Yeah.
And they think that Dad has the power to like give them a TV show, which he just doesn't at all.
Yeah.
But you can smell that a mile off, and it happens less now because I'm a little bit more anonymous if I'm maybe at an event without him, but but that is the only downside, is that I can guarantee you over this weekend, someone will come up and we'll have a conversation where I'm fully aware the entire time, you don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
You just want to talk about Dad or to Dad, which is fine. But there's nothing I can do for you there, you know. So that's the only thing about it that I would not wish away, but kind of be a little bit like, here we go again about.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's lovely. And I would be, you know, it's very kind of you to say, making a name for myself, but I would be delusional if I didn't acknowledge that there was a level of, not comfort, but a level of confidence
yeah.
that people have in me that's just built in because they like Dad's products, or, you know, and that's really, I don't try and take advantage of it at mm-hmm. all, but, it, you know, I know we organized this convention last year in London, the London Magic Convention.
Yeah, which I want to talk to you about after
yeah,
this.
Let's,
because
by all means.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
But. It was great. But, you know, I would be lying if I organized a convention and it said, Preston Nyman presents London Magic Convention, maybe the surname would carry you through a little bit, but really and truly it would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Dad, when Dad's name's attached, it's like, we sold out really quickly. So, yeah. So you know, I'd be lying if there wasn't things where it was like complete, like, perks.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think what I was sort of tangenting on there. Like you know, those are the times where it kind of you feel like, oh, maybe I'm taking advantage of having a surname that people trust because he's built up a reputation for being mm-hmm. trustworthy. But largely, he's my best friend, and I'm gutted that he can't. We were going to be here together in Vegas,
yeah.
And with our friend Simon too, and neither of them ended up being able to come. So I'm kind of, and he wasn't at Blackpool. So I love experiencing magic with Dad.
Yeah,
and I love the impact that he's had on the community, and it's lovely to that people are starting to know me in my own right mm-hmm. and trust me because they trust Dad, I would hope. You know,
yeah.
That's quite a wishy-washy answer.
I think people are starting to trust you not because of your dad, but because they're experiencing some of your products and seeing some of your magic. I mean it's not like a big secret or anything, but you have a couple of products that are coming out with Penguin
yeah.
Later this year that are just you.
Sure.
And they're great tricks. I mean,
that's very kind.
It's very interesting. I mean, like, you and I have talked on some of the other segments about your ESP matching trick, which just you walked up to the booth at Blackpool and fooled the daylights out of me with this trick. And it was very disarming. I mean, because you very clearly have your own performing style that you've definitely set yourself apart from your father.
Can I ask what, because I've said this on the other segments we've done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, every now and then if someone asks, I'll do a stage performance, and very rarely I'll do a performance for someone like one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really perform magic, so I don't. This isn't me fishing for compliments. Oh. I don't know what that style is. So hearing you say that I clearly have a performance style that's different. Do you mind? What does that style feel like? Because I genuinely don't know what that is.
It feels. I guess
it's quite an arrogant question to ask, but I don't.
No, because when I've watched your father's products and mm-hmm. performances, there is a different quality to the two of you, and it's one of those like irritatingly intangible qualities where it just feels like a slightly more modern performance.
Interesting.
And I don't mean that in any way to say that your father's stuff is dated.
Sure.
I just mean that there is a generational difference where you use different language, you have different mannerisms, and I feel like it's just a different sort of younger, fresher isn't the right word, modern isn't the right word, but it's sort of like in that area.
I think there's something too, well, I mean, to answer for you, sorry,
yeah,
but it just reminded me of what you're saying. I think it's David Regal always says, I think it's Regal,
yeah.
that the first time he saw Dad perform, he was like, I want to be friends with that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's the only performer that Regal says he's ever seen that points at audience members,
mm-hmm.
came out, you stand up, you can't see me, but I'm like pointing, which is rude.
Yeah.
But Dad's like a bull with that, which he
yeah.
That's his character.
Yeah.
And I think I think I'm a lot softer, maybe.
Yes.
You know.
It feels like a softness from youth, not from like a meekness or a tepidness.
Yeah, sure.
It just feels like you grew up with different experiences than your father, and so while your father is influencing you, because how could he not?
Yeah.
You grew up watching him perform. That friendly quality transferred over, but in a different
interesting.
Uh, it feels squishier, I guess. It's not a...
No, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Here I am trying to like describe you in a weird way.
No, but I also came up to the booth with pigtails and a big lollipop. So it was a real young vibe that I was giving off. No, I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
That makes sense, but I'm fascinated to know.
But it also doesn't feel like you set out to be different than your father. You were just like, okay, my dad and I are going to do magic together.
Yeah, and I think he's like, definitely, the way I think about, we have different opinions on things, but the way I think about if it's something I'm creating, the lengths that dad, I'm not saying dad in isolation, loads and loads of people go to the same lengths, but the lengths that he goes to go, well, that isn't, to be honest with himself about stuff he's creating, that's not quite right, and I need to kind of, put, I'm not just going to release it because I've had an idea, I need to push through. Or if the idea is perfect to begin with and you're like, it's unimprovable, then, you know. But that I've definitely learned. I wouldn't say inherited, and it's not inherited, it's learned from him. Is maybe an approach to like how you create something. Which is great because it's lovely to learn from him, and also hard because it's like, we're both very opinionated.
They're both very direct performance styles.
Interesting.
Which is fascinating because I mean I know this from interviewing him about sort of like a lot of his involvement with Darren Brown and how it got there, and there was this like really interesting directness, but the directness with you is a little more disarming.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to quantify this in a podcast is a strange thing, but it is. Yeah, it is different.
It's weird. This honestly feels like, I mean, this is quite a lot of information, but I had to go for a colonoscopy recently.
Perfect. And that's what this podcast is all about.
It's magic and colonoscopies. But I was looking, sort of woozy, looking at the camera, because I could watch it the whole time, and just had this out-of-body experience where it was like, oh, that is what I'm made up of. That's amazing. And I'm having quite a similar experience now. Yeah.
Perfect.
You have that colonoscopy effect on me where I've never thought until today about what my style is, or in my head it's like, oh god, I have to perform a magic trick and my heart sinks and just what's the quickest route out of this.
Yeah.
So to hear about that is a very weird out of body, is why I'm so curious about it, just because it feels like I'm looking down on myself.
Yeah.
I don't mean in a patronizing way, I mean like I'm above.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm above me performing a trick, watching it now, hearing it through someone else.
It's weird looking at your own material and having to sort of analyze it from a third person perspective, which I think is why magicians tend to be like bad self-editors because they're like I made this is so good, trying to look at your own work impartially is very awkward because we're just not used to doing it.
And it's really, and that's probably the thing I'm grateful for dad, is having someone, not to, it sounds like he just criticizes everything I do, which he doesn't at all, he's incredibly supportive, but having an outside eye that you're very similar to and very different to be able to, like, I think everyone thinks they're good at self-editing, but I think if it comes to any stage stuff I've done magically or anytime anyone's asked me to do a stage thing, I think through him I've developed maybe an okay understanding of how a director might approach it, or how an editor might look at it, and how to get outside of yourself. So with that, I kind of know who I am. And I know who that character is, but it's performing a trick one-on-one, going up to you at Blackpool. That's where I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't know what to self-edit because I'm just like,
yeah,
I have my little script and I can improvise and chat or whatever, but like I'm finding a way back into the trick and getting through it as quickly as I can, basically, is my opinion. So hearing about it's really interesting. Sorry, this has been a real tangent, but I'm fascinated.
This is what this podcast is for. It's weird tangents.
Great.
But you mentioned that you two threw a convention together. Talk to me a little bit about the convention and like let our listeners know like more about this, because it sounded like it was a blast. Like I found out about it and then I was like, oh man, why didn't I go?
Oh, we'd have loved to have had you there. It was a we basically, so the International Magic Convention, or Ron's Day as people knew it, hadn't been on. It was always in November, and it was so exciting.
Sorry to interrupt, but this week the show is brought to you by Eric Ross's Hook. Nick LaCapo joined me via Zoom to discuss this terrifying trick with a fish hook. Nick, every so often I get the hankering to do a piece of bizarre magic, and I want to do something that keeps my audience on the absolute edge of their seat.
Yeah, you're no stranger to the bazaar. I've seen your shirt come off in some magic shows before.
But I really want to do something that maybe has been seen on like America's Got Talent. I mean, something
something a little bit more classy.
Something iconic.
Yeah. Look, one of the best geek sideshow stunt tricks that has come out, I believe this, in the last 10 years is Hook by Eric Ross.
Oh, this thing is the thing is straight up madness.
It's madness. It's a roulette routine, which means that it's one of those something dangerous is going to happen as long as the audience doesn't choose it. You're going to place a fish hook in your mouth tied to a string, or which on its own is a hard sight for your audience to watch. But that's not the only thing you're putting in your mouth. You're also going to put, I don't know, let's say four other strings identical to the one that's tied to the fish hook in your mouth. So to the audience, they don't know. You'll have a fish hook in your mouth with four strings hanging out of it past your chin. Now, your audience doesn't know which one is connected to the fish hook. And you're going to have them choose a string one at a time and pull it as hard as they can from your mouth. Hopefully not grabbing the string with the fish hook on it, because you can only imagine what would happen if they pulled that one.
And can I just say, the fish hook is terrifying. It's a big three-pronged, gnarly. I mean, it's, you'd use it to like catch a sea bass. I mean, it's huge.
It's not the simple fish hook. It's a big, ugly one. And that, you know, honestly might be the best part of the trick, is the moment where you are placing the fish hook in the spectator, in your mouth. Go ahead.
I think one of the things that's really cool about this, though, is that Eric Ross has done a lot of work to figure out how to make this as safe as possible. Not that putting a fish hook in your mouth is ever a safe thing to do, but the actual method behind this trick makes it not only a lot of fun to perform, but also it allows you to perform it really confidently.
Yeah, that's the genius of this trick, is how it works. When you watch it, you'll be fooled.
Yeah.
And when you learn the method, you'll be excited, because it is safe. It is absolutely safe. And when you watch the instructional video, I think you'll see like, wow, should I try this? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. But, you know, pick your audience, mm-hmm. and find the place that you want to do it. It's an accessible sideshow stunt for anybody.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to say.
Really for anyone. Like, this is definitely one you should just kind of have in your back pocket that you can sort of pull out to really change it up whenever you really want to.
And it's for close up, you know, like you can do it on stage, but there's not many of these things that can be done in people's faces. And this one can be, it's very, very cool.
Hook by Eric Ross. Check it out. That was Hook by Eric Ross, available at penguinmagic.com. As always, the incredible listeners to this show receive 25% off the feature product of the week when they enter a special discount code at checkout. This week, that code is terror. That's terror. TERROR for 25% off Hook by Eric Ross. That code is only good for Hook, and only good until the next episode of this show airs. Now, back to my conversation with Preston Nyman.
Oh, we'd have loved to have had you there. It was a, we basically, so the International Magic Convention, or RONS Day as people knew it, hadn't been on. It was always in November, and it was so exciting. A, because like I say, we're completely best friends, and not only do we have some of our like happiest memories going, but also my mum and sister that are not interested in magic at all. It was really ever like the only time of the year where they were also, because we'd been going from such a young age, me and my sister, she was really excited to go and see friends that we have through magic. Mum would come, and like we'd have our £5 challenge where we'd like run around the dealer's hall and try and find the craziest thing for £5. And you know, we have loads of really lovely family memories of being there and watching. And Noel Britton did the most incredible job of organizing those shows. You know, it was a great convention, and then mm-hmm. I think there's only so many times you can do it, but that was about 12 years ago or something. It stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And for years we were going, someone should take up that spot, that November spot, because it always felt like the beginning of Christmas. Oh my god, you know, it's nearly Christmas, we're gonna go to International, it's gonna be really cold, and we'll buy stuff and watch stuff and whatever. For years, someone should take it up. Why don't we do it? Yeah, we should do it. And you never do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always one of those things where it's like, yes, at some point we'll do it. And then gradually 10 years have passed and it's like, yeah, at some point we'll do it still, you know, and it just moved, that some point moves further and further away. So then I just got a text from Dad after like a year and a half of lockdowns or whatever, saying, I think I'm going to organize a magic convention. Do you want to do it with me?
Yeah.
Really with no other conversation. And then was like, I responded being like, yeah, of course, you know, why wouldn't you? And as soon as that shift from like, oh God, someone should do a convention there, just in one morning became, we should do a convention. It was then just full steam ahead. So it was at a really lovely venue that was around the corner from where we live called Bush Hall. That's an old, like, I think it's an old snooker hall.
Is that the real secret to organizing a convention, is just so that you can have a convention down the street from your house?
Yeah, 100%. We didn't even entertain the idea of, actually, no, we knew it was going to be at that venue because we've done a lot of events there over the years and we knew the people that ran it and we knew it was a good venue and we knew that we could just about make it work. But then we needed a bigger venue this year and looked around. We had an idea for something near us, but we looked around London a bit and eventually we're just like, why? Like, we're organizing this. So the other venue was 10 minutes from my house and the venue this year is 5 minutes from our house, if that, all from Mum and Dad's house, and I only live 10 minutes from there. You know, it couldn't be more convenient.
Yeah. Come to the magic convention that is based on convenience.
Oh, 100%. It's convenience for us. 100%. But it's all, you know, it's coupled with, it has to be right. So last year it was a place called Bush Hall, which is, this lovely old venue. And it was very, we had like 150 tickets sold out in about 4 days.
Yeah.
Dealers around the outside of the lecture hall. We had one room basically. So it was lectures and then the lecture had finished and you'd walk around the edge of the room and there'd be, it was as cramped as it could be. We insisted at the time, because rates were quite bad, that it was a masked thing. So people felt really comfortable. Yeah. This year, obviously, that's a bit more relaxed. But last year, we wanted to make it. And it was just, certainly in the UK, the community has it's gone so toxic, especially online, the magic community in the UK, that we just wanted to do something nice.
Yeah.
So it was a lovely day. And then this year, it's in a Victorian theatre three tiers. And we've got a huge dealer's hall that's separate from the thing. So there's a lot of growth this year. And, you know, there's 500 seats instead of 150. But we had great, we had a lot of things, like we had great lectures, and then the show is the thing that we're both really, really proud of.
Yeah.
Did anyone tell you about this? Did you know about this?
No.
So we basically were looking at, how do we do a gala show? And that we either ask someone to do their fringe show, which is okay, but it means that if people have seen the fringe show, or if people don't necessarily like the performer or whatever, you're not going to stick around for the evening. And, you don't quite know. It's a bit wishy-washy. Or we do a full gala show, but we didn't really have the space or the budget to do that last year. So what do we do? You know, and ideas were floating around that I'm never crazy on, like, a magic game show necessarily that conventions can do, or a panel show. Never quite. They always seem to descend into just sort of bullying.
I think that you can do those, but you have to have people who understand what that kind of show is.
Yeah, but I have quite mixed. There was one at Blackpool years ago, and it was funny people doing it, but it ultimately just became, it was a panel show, and it was just anyone that wasn't in the room was getting, like, torn into.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't necessarily bother me if anyone in the room was also getting torn into.
Yeah.
But anytime this was a thing with Dad that really hit me. Dad's name came up as part of a joke or something, and then everyone was like singing Dad's praises, which was like, no, if he was out of the room, you would be tearing it. I don't want Dad to get torn into, but there was an element of like, that's a really cowardly thing to do.
I think that, so I hear people talk about, oh, I love roasts or something like that, and I feel like people forget that roasts were an honor because it was all of these people saying things to your face that they would normally only say behind your back. And it's a genuine act of love is where it comes from, not just being mean for the sake of being mean.
And a lot of humor in magic just descends into being mean.
Yeah.
And to a point, that's kind of funny, but not really, you know. Yeah, there's no, unless there is like love behind it, and also just a one size fits all, no one's safe, everyone's going to get torn into, but that's, you know, if that's not really there, then it's not fun, I don't think.
But it sounds like you and your father just were like, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, and like, this is just going to be a nice day. And yeah. because everything's been so weird in the UK, we just wanted a nice day. So we landed on this idea, which was, why don't we completely democratize? Anybody with a ticket can take part in the gala show.
Oh, that's great.
Anybody. But on its own, it's a sweet idea, but it might not. It's called the £4 gala show. And mm-hmm. you basically, your act has to come in between 3:45 and 4 minutes. You're not allowed to look at your watch. You're not allowed a timer, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. If your act comes in that time frame, you win £4. If it doesn't, there's a buzzer and you're off. We didn't want any booing. None of that. It's really supportive. But from the audience's point of view, we were toying with having a timer. Mm-hmm. And it kind of kills the joke because you should
lose yourself in the moment.
Yeah. So we had a red screen that in that 15-second window behind the performer, they're not allowed to turn around and look behind them.
Yeah.
In that 15-second window, it went green.
Yeah.
And then there was a 15-second timer and then it went red. So for the audience, we're cutting together a video to promote this year's one.
It
could have gone disastrously, but you had a room full of 150 people on the edge of their seats, willing.
Yeah.
You know, the screen would go green and everyone's trying to, you know, please wrap it up because you can win. £4 is a nothing prize, but it was so much fun. And really one of those things that felt like, oh, we've just hit on something really special
here. That's great.
It was great. And it, as an idea, it sounds quite funny, but really when you're in the room and even watching the video back, even the video is fun to watch because you're like seeing someone.
So everybody's rooting for this person.
Everybody's rooting for them. You're seeing someone do the final stage of a rope routine.
Yeah.
And the thing goes green and you're like, they're not going to wrap it up. Please wrap it up. Please. Come on. And you know, they'll have 2 seconds left and maybe they'll go. So then for this year, we're doing the same thing, but there was someone that won that I don't think should have won because I don't think their act had finished in time. So this year is the same. Anyone with a ticket can enter.
Yeah.
There's more tickets. We have to be a bit more select. You know, we're going to draw names from a hat. Whereas last year it was just like anyone that enters.
Yeah.
But the rule is your act has to finish with you saying, and that is the end of my act. If you say, and that's the end of my act, your act doesn't finish. It has to be, and that is the end of my act. And then the timer stops.
I love it. I love pedantry.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. It's as pedantic, it's as petty as it can be. But this year, you know, last year was a lovely room, 150 people. Mm-hmm. This year, you're going to be on stage in a 3-tier Victorian theatre with, in theory, 500 people there just rooting for you.
Well, it sounds like an amazing convention and a wonderful show. And we'll be sure to include a link in the show description. Preston, thank you so much for joining us here on the Penguin Magic Podcast. Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for this week, kids. Thanks so much to Preston Nyman for being on the show, and thanks to you for listening. As you are listening, we are just a couple of weeks away from the Blackpool Magic Convention. I know I'm going to have one of Preston's tricks in the booth with me, and other than that, I'm not going to tip just what we have on the stand yet. But you should come on by and see some of the latest and greatest stuff. We'll even have a couple of brand new releases that no one has ever seen before. And Craig Petty will be joining me in the booth. I can't wait to see you all there. And then go hang out in the Ruskin afterwards for a nice pint of bitter. As always, we're a weekly podcast, so be sure to like and subscribe as well as share your favorite episodes on the social media platform that you've been desperately searching for news about Atomic Chihuahua Robotics on. I've been on a European vacation. I can't design robots and drink Spanish wine on the coast. Or can I? But if visiting Southern Europe isn't on your to-do list, you can always hit me up on the Instagram at Eric Tate. That's at E-R-I-K-T-A-I-T. From me and everyone else here at the P3 Magic Studios, practice, perform.